referee is reaching into their pocket.
What is that card going to be? Oh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It is time for season three of Get Off My Pitch podcast. My name is Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
The boys came back for year three. Back in town. That is right, John. It is good to see you again, my friend. Are you excited for another season of Nashville soccer?
Yes, I am.
All right, tonight's show is going to be a bit of a preview of the season coming up. I'm going to bring it to you. Yeah, so we're going to talk about the, in the first segment, we're going to talk about the summary of the roster changes that happened in the offseason. A lot to talk about there. We're going to talk about the new kit, give our reactions to some of the things going on there with the merch. We will, of course, talk about the strike, and we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. And, of course, we will obviously talk about the CCC tournament coming up and how we are going to fare in that. And that is that game was nigh upon us, John, nigh upon us. All right, John, let's kick it off. Tell us what happened in the offseason. Let's start with the roster changes. Who are the new faces and who exited the club?
Well, we had a lot of things. And it's odd because, as you know, we have players in Huntsville in our MLS Next Pro team. So some of their names were included in the Nashville moves because they had contracts signed with Nashville, even though they play in Huntsville, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to give you the high level so far. So Biggest deals. We lost Dax. We lost Fafa. There are a few others. Probably the only other really notable one is Hawkinson, just because he's been here since the first season, with Nashville. And again, that's more of a notability, not necessarily stat-wise on the field. I mean, outside that one memorable game against Toronto with the two goals, he really hasn't done much. But he's a name that's been around forever, so it's, you know, kind of noticeable in that aspect. So those are the main departures. Coming in, some big notes. We have Drew Yearwood in the midfield, Mackenzie Gaines on the wing, Tyler Boyd, probably the biggest name and the one we spent for biggest in theory, because there's an asterisk, like, of the 650K game, like 500K is under conditions. So maybe he's cheap, maybe he's not. I don't know. a couple other names to mention. Forster Ajago. I don't know. I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce that. Put that in next year's, put next week's comp. And Wubens Pacius, who came from the Canadian Premier League. Fun names. They're probably going to see more time in Huntsville. However, one name that I want to mention, our second homegrown signing, Isaiah Jones.
Yes.
Particularly worth mentioning because he is brother of one Malachi Jones, who went to...
What university did he attend? He attended Lipscomb University.
And he was drafted...
Champion Lipscomb University. Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Three-time champion Lipscomb University.
Yes. And he was drafted seventh overall in the super draft, along with the first pick overall, Tyree Spencer from Lipscomb. So if you recall, I had to tweet it out in December. I gave Eric credit. Eric had talked about Tyrese. He had talked about there's going to be some Lipscomb talent. Lo and behold, the first and seventh pick. We're wedging in a little bit of Nashville midget in here, Eric, because, I mean, that's a big deal for Lipscomb. That's pretty cool stuff.
He is. So I don't want to tease too much this year, but I do have connections at the university I attended. I'm going to try to get some, maybe our first guest to come on. That's a teaser for this season. I'll get the teaser. I'd like to talk to some of the coaching staff there. I'd talk about how they developed the program there that has, won some hardware. Let's just say that. Yeah. And has not done too bad in the overall college tournament. They did fall to Indiana, but I watched that game and it was pretty close. It was Indiana was the better side, but it was a fairly close contest. But yes, I would have loved to have seen one or both of the key players from Lipscomb put on the gold, but there's unfortunately Toronto got anyway.
no one was gonna beat them out for the first pick, Eric. Let's be real. They were terrible last year.
I don't know. I don't know if Mike Jacobs could pull some sort of chicanery, but yeah, of course, that's not how things work. Let's talk about, I want to react to some of the changes. So first of all, Dax, going to Atlanta, that it's a bad look. It looks bad. It's our rival. If he had gone to any other club, even Orlando for that matter, I just going back to Florida, I could see him doing that. But Atlanta, that hurts. That kind of hurts.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like That one hurts more spiritually than on the field, perhaps. Spiritually than statistically. Like, I mean, he was the captain our first year. He was the heart and soul, you know, the locker room presence, the veteran guy, et cetera. So, you know, it feels bad. I know there was a lot of hubbub in December where he did his, you know, because he has his Major League Journeyman podcast, and there was talking about some of the stuff, and, you know, people, was he, you know, how the negotiation was handled? I don't know. I mean, in all things with two sides, there's going to be two stories to it. I don't know. But to me, the net reaction is we will miss him. But as we saw, he was getting older. He was getting a little slower. He had some, you know, our midfield in general had issues. It wasn't just Dax. There was a lot around there. So to me, that's my biggest takeaway from this. When I named Drew Yearwood, Mackenzie Gaines, who let's say they're kind of, let's say each one of those is kind of a spiritual successor or insert replacement for Dax and Fafa. Boyd is kind of similar. All three of those guys are younger. We did not sign any, well, up until recently with some of our free agent signings like Kalman, we didn't sign a lot of old players. These guys are young. We signed some young talent to Huntsville. I feel like the front office finally heard. Now, granted, just because they're young and have some promise, does that mean that our midfield problems are fixed? I don't know. There's still a lot to be seen out there. But to me, I'm at least excited. It seems like we're moving in the direction of we're building in new ways this year. And it's not just we're stuck with draft picks that we hope we get lucky, like, you know, a Jack Mayer and an Alistair Johnson, or, you know, pulling free agents off the market. I feel like we've pulled in some talent that has some possibility, and at least we're slowly creeping away from that 30 plus age average on the team. So to me, it shows some signs of progress, even if, you know, maybe it's not as, I don't think it's as big as anyone to kind of hope we'd swing for home for the fences, but you know.
I do want to say I'm glad that Hockenson is getting a chance somewhere else. I truly believe, you know, I think, and I think I've gone on record, I like Luke Hockenson. I think he's a good soccer player. Maybe he just wasn't a fit for what we were trying to do. And I really wish him the best. I would like to see him and his career expand. Again, I would, you know, on paper, he was the fastest member of the team. So, I mean, he's got speed. I think he's got talent. I hope the best for him. I really do. I really hope that he goes out there and really shows off his talent. All right. Yeah. John, let's talk about the new kit. So, each year, it seems like all the soccer clubs across the planet, put out a new jersey or a new kit, as they say across the pond. And this year is no different. John, would you like to? We will put a link in the show notes, showing, you know, directing folks to the new kit. But John, can you describe the new kit for those of us who are not looking at a picture right now?
So it's yellow and it's blue. I mean, if you imagine our home kit from the first year, where it was a basic yellow kit, they put a large blue stripe. In kind of an interesting position, it's not behind the sponsor, it's up higher on the chest. It's behind the Nashville and the Adidas or Maker logo. So it's a little bit higher on the chest. It has some blue stripes kind of down the side. I mean, it's not mind-blowingly different. It's kind of a standard safe design, which seems to be a Nashville thing. But it's not bad. To me, the kicker is we have finally moved away from the monotone thing, and it will be a yellow kit with blue shorts and yellow socks. Oh, so more traditional, you see it in football, the traditional look of jersey and pants are the jersey and socks match and the pants are an opposite color for contrast. This is the first kit we've ever had where we've done that. When we had the old Vibe kits, it was blue, 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 yellow, yellow, yellow. And with the Men in Black, it's black, black, black. So this is our first mix and match kit, which I actually think makes it look a lot cleaner. And I think it looks a lot better. You know, rating it with over all of our kits overall, I don't think it's our best one. I think it's better than, again, the plain original yellow one we had. Yeah. But I think the kicker is the cool patches. I feel like for fans, this is a kicker. So they made, I believe it's 35 different patches representing neighborhoods around Nashville. Now, that is a bit of a misnomer because it includes towns around here like Spring Hill and Hendersonville and Murfreesboro. So it's the towns and cities and neighborhoods. But I feel like it gives it a little bit
of an
interesting tie. You can get them and you can get them customized onto the jersey, which is kind of cool. And supposedly for the first game, I don't know if it's going to continue, but they said for at least the first game, all of the players will be wearing the patch. I don't know if it's supposed to be on the center of the back, but we'll have a patch on there representing the neighborhood in which they currently reside in Nashville.
All right.
So I think that detail makes it at least takes it up a notch compared to just the look of it, is kind of adding some of that localization stuff. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was rather plain. I was trying to hearken back to other clubs across the, you know, across the pond and locally, what it looks like. I think it maybe looks a little bit like your standard sort of Central American club. There's some of those clubs have that sort of standard like bar design. Mm-hmm. I'd like to show an example of it, but I'm not even talking like Liga MX. I'm talking like some of the Central American, South American clubs. But yeah. I think it's great. I definitely am more excited about the patches. Like I said, I'm going to get a stack of Green Hills patches and hopefully make that part of my kits going forward. So like buy a stack
of them. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is I want to buy a bunch of the patches to apply possibly to the homecoming kit I have now, you know, somewhere, and then to the other one. So like, I agree. Like I honestly hope they don't do away with the patches at any point. Cause I mean, maybe they redesign them. You know what I mean? Like if we get a new blue away jersey or something, they redesign them for some contrast. But I do think that's a pretty cool idea that they hope they continue for at least a while. But I know I'm going to grab a couple just to throw around in different kits when I do it. But I would put it this way. My view of the kit is it's interesting. It is not, this is the first, because I bought the last two right off the bat. This is the first one out of the last couple that I'm going to wait till possibly a discount in the future. That's my summary of if I had to rank it, you know?
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the strike that is currently ongoing and it's hit, and how it's going to affect the MLS and games coming up. We'll also tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. So stay with us. We are back. Normally, I would have a not sponsored segment, but of course, I have to break the news to our listeners that Tempo Tacos will no longer be at the Geodis Park. Yeah, unfortunately, they have been replaced by the Southern Kitchen. You know what? I look forward to trying them out and seeing what they bring to the table. Always nice to have new vendors on, but we will miss Javier and his family. They are still on. They're still near the stadium, so their business is still there. They just won't be at the stadium. So, all right, John, let's talk about, in more bad news, let's talk about the strike and who is striking and why are they striking?
Well, so this is, to me, this is possibly going to color at least the first couple weeks of the season. So, as you know, pro referees are the referees that MLS uses. There was a disagreement,
pro being a company or like what? Who like
being a
that?
Company. Being the company that has the contract with, underneath that is the PSRA, or Professional Soccer Referee Association. So that is the union to which. So you think about it, like MLS has the MLSPA that represents the players. They talk with MLS. That's how they work out and get the contracts for all the players. Similarly, Pro is the company. PSRA is the union underneath it. So Pro and MLS have been going back and forth trying to negotiate a new deal. They had a deadline of January 31st. Evidently, they didn't hit that to have it done, but it wasn't, they were still in negotiations, so there wasn't a strike then. Well, Pro, MLS set Pro over contract, Pro approved it, sent it to PSRA, to the union, and it failed with 95-point-something% voting against it. Meaning, of the union, 95% of them said, no, we're not going to play under those terms that Pro brought to us. So it looks like we're headed to a lockout or a strike. As it stands, there were some tweets out here. I'm looking at this one from Jeff Carlisle that talks about, you know, they've identified a set of officials, some who have qualified for fourth referees, side referees, ARs. You know, there's some, basically they have some people who can fill in. Some of them are coming from different countries, different divisions, things like that. They're basically out from outside of Pro somewhere. So that's great. I mean, look, I'm not going to get too much into the detail because they haven't really listed a lot of money. I don't have a lot of hard basis to say, are the refs asking for something realistic or not? My thing is, it comes down to this. I watched the National Football League, as in hand egg, you know, the American football here, a few years ago when we had replacement refs, and it was quite terrible. So there were some games that skated by with not too much, but there were some high profile, ridiculous missed calls. I mean, as much as we have all occasionally, especially on this podcast, railed against some officials, I'm honestly kind of scared what's going to happen. And I think it's going to be interesting. I feel like Nashville in some ways may fly under the radar because, as you know, we don't necessarily tend to be a high fouling team. Mm-hmm. We don't always get too chippy, though. I mean, there's always that game against Philly where things got out of hand, you know. But we also don't, you know, don't necessarily have the biggest stars. Like, I think the Messi games, as in the ones with Lionel Messi, those are going to be interesting. Because if there are games where they don't give him calls, things are going to get heated and nasty, especially if he gets dirty tackles. And on the opposite end, if you have games where you breathe on him and you get a card, it's going to get bad too. So I think that there could be some very interesting soccer being played, and I'm a little bit worried, Eric. I don't know. What do you think? Like, what do you see the impact being?
Well, I see myself as a referee in the MLS. You know, I've already talked about it. Like, so side story here. I pitched my longtime dream to John.
Yes.
Of becoming a professional soccer referee. He immediately shot it down, as you probably, all of you listening probably know. John's sole purpose on this podcast is to crush my dreams. This has been a dream of mine for many, many years. And, he just feels like I don't, what did he say? I'm not qualified to become a referee. And I was like, you just said that the quality is going to be poor anyway. So, I mean, how much worse could I be as an on-the-field referee? That's my question to you.
I would like to say this. I don't crush your dreams. I save you from potential embarrassment and disappointment. That's what I'm here to do.
Well, I don't know. We'll dedicate another podcast to that. But yeah, no, I'll tell you where it's really going to get ugly is VAR. VAR right now is one of the, across the board, both in other leagues across the sea, other leagues in South America, Central America, VAR is becoming a hated aspect of the game. But because gambling is involved in all these sports, VAR is just going to be living. So I think that there's going to be a lot of angry gamblers, I think. I think there's going to be a lot of angry gamblers at some of the VAR decisions. Because, one, I think the refs on the field are going to lean more heavily on VAR, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think that the VAR is going to be, with the inexperience, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, I think it's going to be an interesting mix of chicanery and foulery and just poor refereeing. And it may not make for the best on-field product, right? Who are they going to be the referees for the CCC?
So of note, yes. Remember, Nashville, and we'll talk more about this in the third segment. We're going to be playing in four competitions this year.
Yeah.
MLS regular season, we know that. The League's Cup. Now, I do believe that those League's Cup referees were FIFA referees last year, FIFA. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. So they're FIFA.
And they were pretty good. Unaffected. And I got to say, they were actually pretty good.
Obviously, they were. So again, that's...
Obviously because a big call went our way, but yeah.
Right, right. But anyway, those are FIFA referees. So those will be the same. That is not affected. The Open Cup, I actually don't remember where Open Cup comes from. I think they were pro referees for the MLS.
Pro, games, yeah, they were pro referees.
Yeah, and then US. So that one may be affected. But again, to get really into the details, USL has its own deal with Pro 2, which is actually the referees for that. They're not affected. This is only MLS. So the Open Cup may be okay. Also, we still don't know if we're going to be in the Open Cup, which... I mean, we're not even going to cover it this year because there's not been a decision. So more on that to come in the weeks.
Maybe.
And for the CONCACAF Champions Cup or the CCC, that is also going to be FIFA refs because it's run by CONCACAF. So this is only the MLS regular season we're talking about up until a point in time. We assume at some point that there is an agreement reached and the regular pro referees come back. So.
So what about the Open Cup? When does the Open... Okay, so let's go through, and maybe we can save this for a second, but let's go through which League Cup series starts first. So the CCC starts first, right?
Yes. So the Champions Cup, CONCACAF Champions Cup starts this next week for us. It has actually been going on for 2 weeks, but all of the MLS teams... with the asterisk of Vancouver, because Vancouver qualified through the Canadians Cup, the Canadian Champion Cup or whatever. So they qualified through that method. They did not qualify through MLS. All of the MLS qualified teams start play this week and next week, so the next 2 weeks. Then MLS obviously starts a week from today on Sunday, the 25th. The Open Cup, we were not supposed to come in until, what is it, the round of 64 or 32, I forget
32,
what it is.
32.
Either way, so I think that's not till late March, early April. So there's time. And then League's Cup is the same window of July and August this year, you know, to be determined. Actually, I think I should say to be determined. Our group is already determined to that, but no need to cover that today. So again, League's Cup is way down the road. Open Cup is still a couple months away. Again, depending on what happens with the negotiations between MLS and US Soccer Federation. But then, oh, but MLS regular season and the CONCACAF Champions Cup start this week. We're in it. We're in the thick of it. Soccer is back.
Nice. Nice. All right. Nice rundown. I tell you what I'm very curious about though, is who or what needs to get off your pitch.
Yeah. So, it's been a while since we've done one of these. I was trying to think of the biggest pet peeve thing that tripped me up the past couple months. And I don't know, have I ever told you about my peculiarity with Christmas songs?
No.
Have I ever? No. So in general, I'm okay with the Christmas songs after Halloween. My wife is, I'm picky about that. But here's the thing. There are good Christmas songs and there are bad Christmas songs, right? Yeah. But then below the bad Christmas songs, there is another tier that is utter garbage. And in that tier is one single song called Wonderful Christmas Time by one Paul McCartney. This man was in the Beatles. This man produced co-wrote some of the best music of generations. He was part of the biggest band of the 1900s. This is part of, I don't know, you could draw time.
20th century.
I mean, the Beatles, this epic band. And he came out with this song that sounds like a synthesizer in someone's basement. And it's got dumb lyrics. It's a horrible earworm. Once you hear it, it's in there. It's nested. It will come back to you next week. Wonderful Christmas Time is absolutely the worst Christmas song ever. I hate it. And it's like if Lionel Messi came and played an indoor soccer game here and scored no goals against you and I. That's how bad it is. It's if you and I played against Lionel Messi and he couldn't score a goal against us.
Wow.
It's wrong. It's an utter abject failure. Man. It's the opposite of apex. I can't even think. The bottom of this man's career.
You're pretty angry, man.
Yes. Anyway, so this is something I've had for years, but I don't think I've ever released it on the podcast. So there, that is the get off my pitch for Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney as the worst Christmas song and possibly one of the worst songs ever, especially considering his prestigious career.
Wow. Okay, yeah, it's going to be hard for me to top that, but I think that thematically, I think I'm going to piggyback off your get off my pitch. Mine is, during the break, I've been watching a lot of European soccer, okay? I follow clubs both in Serie A and Italy, in the Bundesliga in Germany, and in the EPL in England, and the SPL in the Scottish Premier League. So I follow a lot of teams. I was watching one regular match, EPL match, Nottingham Forest versus West Ham today. And I noticed that there in the middle of the pitch, close to where I sit, was a rather older segment of fans. Let's just say they more look like me, okay? These are middle-aged, middle-unders, right? And I noticed that one guy, and if you've ever been to an EPL game, folks, most people just sit, and especially outside the supporter section, most people just sit quietly and watch the game. Like literally, they'll sing along every so often, but for a majority of the noise you hear in the stadium, it's coming from either end of the stadium, one from the opposing fans or one for the supporter fans. Okay, that's where we get the supporter. But this one guy stood up and was just given the business to the guy throwing the ball, and I realized at that moment, I'm that guy. Like, I'm that guy in our stadium. I'm the old guy screaming on the pitch where everyone around me is sort of embarrassedly, like, looking at me. Like, so first of all, I'd like to start my get off my pitch by giving myself a yellow card for sort of the antics that I've had all year. Yeah, so show the yellow. It's a yellow card for myself to remind myself that, I got to be mindful of people around me. But you know what?
Oh, it's not mindful of your age. It's just the people around you and the embarrassment level.
Yeah, right. Okay, anyway, it was like watching myself, and I was like, oh my gosh, am I like that? Yes, I am. But that's not my get off my pitch. No, John, my get off my pitch is for Taylor Swift. And it is for Taylor Swift because of all the eligible bachelors in professional sports, Lucas McNaughton was right there. Like, she could have had the flow of Lucas the hot McNaughton. Instead, she went for Travis Kelce. Like, MLS could be soaking in the glory that is the Taylor Swift, the Swiftie phenomenon. And instead, the NFL, which already has a pile of money, is just pulling on more piles of money on top of the piles of money that they have. And so my get off my pitch is for Tay-Tay for choosing the wrong guy. She again has chosen the wrong guy, in my opinion. She could have gone for Lucas, and we could be watching. Think about it. Here's the scenario. Look at Tay-Tay up there with Reese Witherspoon, her good friend, who they know each other. They could have been hanging out in the box. You know, there could have been every five seconds, there could have been the camera up on their box. You know what I mean?
Imagine if Messi played here and the camera spent more time with Taylor than Messi. Imagine a world.
That's the world. Yeah, well, John, that's the world I wanted to live in. But no, just like in her past relationship, I think she's chosen the wrong man. Lucas, you're in our hearts forever, but, you know, someone had to say it, John. And so I feel like I had to come out and take it. Now, if this brings the Swiftie, hate on us, like we can take it. John and I are grown men. We can take it. Send all your hate mail to johnbrenning@gmail.com. All right. On that note, let's take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the CCC match coming up. We'll give you our predictions for this year. We'll talk about the New York Red Bulls game because we do have an MLS game. And so stay with us. We are back. All right. Let's talk about, so we mentioned the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Is that the full name? What is the name again?
Okay. Previously known as CONCACAF Champions League for the past like 30 years,
I think.
So,
yeah.
No, before it was actually CONCACAF Champions Cup before that one time ago, and they went back. I don't know, man. They can't decide on a name.
Yeah, whatever. It's FIFA. So.
No, actually, it's CONCACAF.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. All right, so tell us about the tournament. What do we got?
Yeah, so brief overview for the folks who don't know anything about it. It is CONCACAF, so again, all of the North American Confederation, including Central America and the Caribbean Islands, and Canada. I forget, there's a team north of us. There's a country up there. It is not just a hat. It's the best teams from all of those. So it's the best from the domestic nations. Again, last year they expanded it, so they counted some of the League's Cup qualifiers, some Open Cup competitions, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a conglomeration of that. Right now, it's not quite 32 teams, but right now it is a bracket setup. So it's a bracket. That's the reason I bring this whole setup. So it's a bracket. It's got two sides pre-decided. So for those of you who care about Club America and our next chance to seek revenge upon them and wreak havoc on their fans, it would actually literally have to be in the final because they're on the opposite side of the bracket. So sorry to ruin your day, but it'd be a hard one. But we play Mocha. So Mocha FC is a small company. Goodness gracious. Soccer team from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
So we're going to be playing.
So they're in the Caribbean League, right?
Yes. Yes. They're in the Caribbean. So they have their own domestic league. They're the best team in the Dominican Republic, which is something. It should be an interesting game. We play them. Now, again, the CONCACAF Champions Cup are home and away games. So we go there this week. We play on Thursday, the 22nd. In the Dominican Republic. We actually don't play in their home stadium. We play in the stadium that the U.S. played against the Dominican Republic with that really large tree out the back of the behind one of the goals. Yeah, we play in that stadium. They moved it to because it's a slightly bigger stadium. Huh. So, yeah, we actually play in the tree stadium in the Dominican Republic. So that's a fun one. Yeah, it's kind of cool. So we play there. Then we come back for the home game for us, which is going to be the week after on the 28th, which is a Wednesday. So we go home and away. This is now. We'll talk about predictions in a minute. The overall specter is that you have to know what's looming next. The winner of this, which in theory on paper should be Nashville, the winner gets to play the one and only Fort Lauderdale Messies. So that's what's looming, which should be interesting for that. So we could find our first rematch in a competitive setting, but in a bracket or a knockout setting against Miami come very quickly early in March if things go that way. But overall, this is a cool competition. This is kind of considered like the best club competition in this because it's the best of Liga MX, the best of MLS. So this would be kind of our most prestigious thing. Yes, we always want to win the MLS Cup. That's the goal every season. But being a part of this, it would be really cool to win this and go there. It's not going to be an easy road. I mean, there are teams, Monterrey, Club America, Chivas, Tigres. From MLS, the reigning champions, Columbus. Obviously, Miami, we talked about, it's the second game. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in here, so it's not going to be a simple thing to just blow through, but mm-hmm. could be really fun to do something to do some damage.
All right. Do you want to do predictions after, or do we want to talk about the our predictions now?
Let's do the short-term predictions, and then we'll talk about long-term. So
yeah, I think we get past Mocha, I think, easily. And mm-hmm. I think we get past the Revs, too, because they're in our bracket. Is that correct?
No. We play Miami next, and then after that, it's the other half of that bracket is Monterey, who's already advanced, and then Cincy versus a team whose name I don't recognize abbreviated, so some other Caribbean team.
I do think we get past Mocha, and I think we get past Miami only because I think that with all the travel and all the travel that Messi and company have done over the – so for those of you who don't know, Miami's been on sort of an international tour of sorts for their preseason, and they've been in Saudi Arabia and these different countries, and I got to say, I watched these –
They went to Asia too. They played a game in Hong Kong. I mean, they've been traveling.
They looked – Busquets and those guys are not young anymore. And that amount of travel, it was visibly painful to watch them play. Like, they played in Saudi Arabia, and I thought it was going to be another, you know, and this was the Al Nassr, which theoretically would have Messi versus Ronaldo. Like, it would be another rematch. Yep. They were both sitting in the stands, and everyone there was so disappointed. It was palpable how, and I think Al Nassr went up like 3 goals in the first 10 minutes. It was pretty tough to watch. I turned it off and went back to work.
Miami got some goals, but it was bad. Miami has not looked good. They have looked tired. They have looked weary. So, I agree with you. I feel like this might be the time to catch them because they're going to come back to the regular season. They care. Like, I mean, to me, again, if I was a club and I was ranking, Champions Cup's probably number one priority, and then MLS is number two, just because this has some prestige with it. I gotta think, if I'm Miami, I gotta think they're going for the double. I gotta think they want the Champions Cup and they want MLS Cup. Yeah. They already won League's Cup. I feel like we don't need to do that 2 years in a row. I don't think they care about Open Cup. And again, we don't know what's gonna happen. I feel like if I'm them, I want to shoot big and go for the double. But I think they're going to be tired. I agree. If anything, I think we may catch them in that. I think we have a realistic chance to get past them. The next game would either be Monterey or Cincy, probably. We've beaten both of those teams. So I think we could make that to the quarterfinals. The semifinals might be a little harder, but I think quarterfinals would be a good showing. Anything past that, kind of like with League's Cup, I mean, that'd be gravy. You know what I mean? If we get to the semifinal, awesome. If we make it to the final, that'd be great. But I'm going to be disappointed if we get second place again.
Yeah. All right. So let's go directly into our different rankings. So in the CCC, John, go ahead, start with where you think we fall in that competition.
I think round of 16 would be an okay exit. I would like to get to round of 8. So I'm going to say the round of 8, or I guess that's the quarterfinals.
I say we get to the quarterfinals. I actually think we come out. Nashville tends to be a strong starting club. Unfortunately, we seem to be a strong starting club, and I think we actually get into the quarterfinals. All right, the next competition you have on our list here is the Open Cup. What do you think about Cup?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think because we're going to come in late because we were one of the better teams, and there was something about the League's Cup teams that qualified got to join later. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know anymore. I'd like to make a prediction if we make it to a semifinal, because I think the Open Cup is kind of been a little of our jam because it flies under the radar from other MLS teams, and I think it's an easy path to a trophy. Mm-hmm. But I don't honestly know if we're going to play in it. If we do, my goal would be the semifinals. I think we make it to the semifinals. I think it's realistic. It depends a lot on the draw, but again, I think between more teams overall in MLS, being a part of the Champions Cup, having to play extra games, having all this other stuff going on, I think we could definitely use that as a route and go all in for it. So I think semifinals is my goal.
Yeah, I think semifinals is a fair assessment, especially since I think we've got a pretty good set of talent. We've got good talent in Huntsville, right? So I think that will be leveraged to some surprising results. I think we've seen we've seen players shine in the Open Cup from our let's say our B squad, right? And so I think this year will be no different. All right, League's Cup. This is the big unknown. There's the wild card. League's Cup is back again. Again, you know, John and I, especially me, kind of poo-pooed it last year where I was like, whatever. I don't even know what this is.
The coolest thing we ever witnessed.
It was one of the coolest things that ever happened to the club.
And again, not just for MLS, or not just for Nashville. I loved I told you that one night was like Thursday, Friday, Saturday for 3 days. I think I watched like 8 penalty shootouts, yeah, and they were all nail biters, and it was just,
yeah, it was some good soccer. It was some good soccer.
Just good. Yeah. It was just good. I hope it lives up to that. I hope there's a lot of close matches. I'd be curious to see if they maintain the exact same rules. I don't think they've released that yet. My prediction is, I think the round of eight, so I think that's two rounds again, I think would be a great goal. Depending on how things have gone so far in the season, though, I could see us maybe dropping out in the round of 16 and maybe not caring about it as much this year. So
I think here's what I think. I think the Liga MX teams felt embarrassed by what happened.
And by the way, quick note, there are some Liga MX teams that do get hosting priority, so there will be games in Mexico. Club America gets to play its first, if it makes it that far, the group games, and then the next two rounds after it at home. That is a huge advantage for some of these teams.
I don't know that the round of eight is even realistic. I think this year, I think the Liga MX teams are looking to make a point, and I think they are going to come out with, not that they weren't, I thought they definitely put out their best squads. I think they did. Mm-hmm. I just think that the travel and maybe the unfamiliarity with unfamiliarity of playing in North America, like this far north, I just without the, you know, even though I, you know, during the Club America game, it was almost like a home game, to be honest. It was pretty stacked with the Club America fans. I think that having that home field, oh my gosh, that's going to be, if folks watch a Liga MX game, you'll know what I'm talking about. It is an experience. All right.
Yeah.
MLS. So where do we fall in the MLS East? We are in the MLS East, right? We are still in the East, right? I got to check with you first.
So I'm going to level set with you. The MLS soccer.com rankings are out. The highest someone placed us was fifth. The lowest was 10th. Now, I believe we're still doing the weird ninth playoff, so technically a couple people has had us 10th, which is out of the playoffs. Most common seems to be 7th or 8th. I understand 7th or 8th. I kind of understand it. It's what we did last year. We were 7th. I'm a little more optimistic. I think we're 5th or 6th, and I'm going to go ahead and say that we're 6th. I really want to say, you know, I wrote down 5th. I'm going to be bold and say 5th. I think we're 5th in the East. That's where I think we land. I wouldn't be surprised with 6th or 7th, though. There's a lot of variability. Again, I don't know how long Miami's going to last for stuff or how hard they're going to go out for stuff. Right. Since he's going to be good return players, Orlando's going to be good. Some of these other teams, like, is Philly going to kind of be able to maintain form with the same team they rolled out with last year but a year older? New England seems to be falling off. I mean, Columbus is obviously still good, but I don't know.
No one can figure New England out. They are the biggest wild card club that you just never know.
Chicago's done a lot of roster transfers. Does that actually make them a team? So I'm going to go with bold and say fifth.
Believe it or not, during a work event, I actually ran into a Chicago Fire fan, and we talked. And there's a lot of optimism this year about the club. So. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see Chicago do something this year. So, I mean, one of the nice things about MLS, that the parity does make it exciting each year, and that it seems like every club has an equal set of footing, right? I really and truly, I believe that is the case. But I do like that about MLS, unlike the other leagues where you have like two clubs that dominate everything and everyone else is just sort of looking for the middle. I don't have the same optimism. Last year I put a 6th, right? I think that I was hedging a bit. This year I just don't have the same optimism. I don't know. I feel like 7th or 8th is probably where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 7th.
I will say this. I'm going to give an extra bold prediction. I think this is the first year, and I didn't double check this, but I'm pretty sure it's the first year that we get three double digit scores. I think Hani and Sam get above 10 goals. I think Tyler Boyd turns out to be the guy we always wanted Leal to be. And I think he barely does it and gets 10 goals, and we have three double digit goal scores. Now, if our defense is poor, that doesn't necessarily translate to a great team. But that's my bold predictions. I think we see more offense than we did before. Maybe I'm wrong.
All right. So playoffs, where do we go?
I think we got to at least get somewhere. We cannot go out in the first round. I think we got to get to, I mean, to me, the conference semifinal, the conference final will be nice, but I think conference semifinal realistic, because I'm just a little worried that we get tired again.
Yeah, I'm thinking quarterfinals. Yeah, I think I don't want.
Which is the same as conference semifinal, because it's, I think, based on that. But
I don't want to say that we've fallen into a bit of a habit or a rut, but it seems like Nashville seems to fade in the end of the year. And I don't know. I hope that's not the case this year, but it does seem to be. All right. So let's wrap up our show and give our score predictions for the two upcoming matches, one on Wednesday and one on Saturday. So
Sunday.
So Wednesday match, what's your score prediction?
Again, technically it's Thursday. Sorry to be clear.
Thursday.
Supposedly Gary said we're going to play a similar lineup to the one we did for the last preseason game, and it was pretty stacked. I think we go out and we get a 3-1 win, which means we can play a little easier and rest some people on the second thing. Because if we go out hard, it makes it easier the second leg. That's how this works. I think 3-1 win.
Yeah, I think 2-0. I think that Mocha. I think we get. I think we get a goal early and we kind of shock them a bit. We tend to really press a team that we've never played before, like we did with Leagues Cup. We tend to really press a team very tough. Yeah. Like what did Gary say? We start asking questions early of a team and see where they're at. And I think that's going to be a very bright start. So I say 2-0. What about the match on Sunday against New York Red Bulls?
I feel like we always have trouble with New York because they like to press.
Aren't we just New York Red Bull light?
If we want to throw out Wheel, Davis, and Yearwood, we literally have three across that are former Red Bulls. So right. Recent. I mean, Dax was, but it had been a few years. Yeah. We're not really recent in Red Bulls. I also feel like New York is a team that shuffles pieces because they're kind of that big aggregate of the whole Red Bull thing. And they kind of don't like both New York. I think both New York City FC and New York Red Bulls do a little bit of let's take our first couple games, see where we are, and then we'll fix it with some other transfers. So they're a little unpredictable. I think we sail to a 1-0 win. It's not too eventful. In fact, maybe a bit of a boring game and a lot of kind of poor possession as both teams are kind of getting into it, but we score something midway through the first that solidifies it and they just don't have the ability to break us down.
Yeah. I'm afraid I agree about the boring part, but I don't agree on the scoring part. I think it's going to be a 0-0 draw. I think it's going to be a pretty boring game because each club is just sort of hedging a bit. So yeah, that's my prediction. 0-0.
But at least we both say we come out of the first week undefeated. So, that.
All right, John, that is all for tonight. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, my friend. Thank you for listening at home, both here in the U.S. and across the ocean. So we will be covering the Boys in Gold all year. So join us for the ride. John, have a good night.
Sounds good. We'll talk again next week.